Okay, we're holding on Samachet Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the top. Okay, we were in the middle of discussing yesterday the third group in the Mishnah, the ones where we said that Kiddushin are not Tofes with this between this man and woman. However, she is capable of doing Kiddushin with somebody else, for example, a man and his close relatives, and we said that in that case, a child from such a thing as a mother. So we were in the middle of discussing how we know, indeed, that Kiddushin are not Tofes in all of those cases, and therefore, which results in them being a mamzer. We discussed yesterday the possibility that maybe those two things are not linked, but the Gemara is that once the Gemara has brought a limud for it, then we're assuming that they're linked. Any case where, according to a given opinion, Kiddushin are not Tofes, the child's a mamzer. Well, we saw that Tosfos had mentioned that why was the Gemara coming into the whole discussion over here when we had a discussion of it in Yevamos, and the answer was because, for example, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we know, according to him, let's say, only Chayim is based in create a mamzer, yet according to him, Kedushin are not Tosfos with, for example, a sister or a mother or whatever, a mother is created by Mrs. Basin, okay, sister, let's say, which is quote-unquote only an Issur Karis. So maybe the two things aren't linked, but by bringing the discussion over here, the Gemara is trying to establish that they are linked. So we went through so far a couple of ways of doing it. We started with the Hoysalish Acher, that a woman is only allowed to marry an Acher, not a relative of her husband. We discussed the question: Are we comparing to that? Maybe that only applies to his son? We said we're learning from Achos Isha. We said you can't really learn from Achos Isha. We said that we said there's a Hekish. We said that the Hekesh can go on a Chos Isha or it can go on Nida, and we said in the end we go L'chumra. Okay, so now Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Therefore, if we have two ways of learning the Hekesh, one to compare it to a Nida, which is a Hekesh L'kula, to say that Kiddushin are Tofes, and another one by comparing it to a Chos Isha to go L'chumra, then you're going to go with the one of L'chumra. Tosfos, by the way, points out, you know, when you get down to it, there's a certain Chumra in saying Kiddushin are Tofes, because then you're making one Eshes Ish. So we didn't really touch on that yesterday because we were in a hurry. But Tosfos answers yes, but here we're dealing with the chumra of the question whether the child is a mamzer. That's the bigger chumra. That's it. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Rav Acha bar Yaakov gives a different explanation. After the kavachomer miyuvama, we can say this that we're saying that arayas that kedushin are not tofes. We can learn by a kavachomer based on a yuvama. Uma yuvama shi b'lav madach in the case of a yuvama where there's only an isur lav. In being Makadashur, which we learned in Yevamos, Lo Siya Eishes HaMetzachot HaLeishzar, Lo Tachsi B'Kiddushin, and Kiddushin are not Tzofus in her, which that's what he's assuming. The two we actually mentioned in Yevamos was Machloikas, well, not with the other. We talked about in Yevamos, there was actually a discussion between Rav and Shmuel over there, whether indeed Kiddushin are Tzofus by Yevama. Here, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is following the opinion that it doesn't. A Yuvama is only a lab and Kedushin aren't Tofes. Chayve Mitzvah, Chayve Krisis, like Oshkin. How much more so cases where there's Mitzvah or Koreis involved that Kedushin should not be Tofes? Which Tosfos points out. I mean, if it's just a Kavachomer, really you could slug it up. It's the same. And a Nida is also an Issur Koreis, and we established yesterday Kedushin aren't Tofes with a Nida. So Tosfos says it's not really a Kavachomer. It's again, he's sort of continuing on the theme from before that we're making the Hekesh to Achos Isha, we're adding another nuance to it. So it's not something that you can really shlug it, per se.
So for a Yevama, which is Mr.
Lav, Kiddushin are not Tofes, and how much more so with a sister or a mother or
girlfriend?
If a Zor is Makadosh, if a non-brother of the mess is Makadosh, then Kiddushin are Tofes. Okay, then the question becomes, Yehachi Shat Chayvei Lavin Nami. Fine, by that logic, why don't we generalize it to all cases of Chayvei Lavin? Why don't we say, by the same token, for example, Kedushin shouldn't be Tofes with a Mamzeret or the various other cases, of Grusha Lekon, Grusha Lekon, Lekon Hedyot, etc. Amar Papa, because Chayvei Lavin Behedyot Ksivu. Because, on the other hand, we do have an explicit pasuk that teaches us that other cases where there's an Issur Lav, nevertheless, Kiddushin are Tofes. Namely as follows. The Pasuk tells us in Parashas Kisetze, Kisiyena le'ishtei noshin, if a man has two wives, ha'achas ahuva v'ha'achas snua, one is loved and one is hated. And the pasuk continues, it's in Ketesa, yeah, the pasuk continues that the hated one has the firstborn son. When it comes time to divide up his property, the firstborn son has to get a double portion. Now, we have to ask, what do you mean? Among these women, are we saying that Lifnam Makam, Rashi explains, meaning in other words, would we think, Rashi explains like this. I mean, the simple meaning, if you just read the Pasuk's translation, you would think it means the husband himself loves one of his wives and hates the other one. Question is, Rashi says, why would you even think that the husband's hate or love for his wives should even determine anything about the Yerusha that the Torah should have to tell us otherwise? That the Pasuk should have to tell us otherwise. The Pasuk should just tell us that you have to give the Bechor automatically. You know, it doesn't matter whether his mother is a Ahuva or a Snua. Tosfos says
that's Rashi.
Tosfos points out that on the face of it, Tosfos seems to learn that Snua Lifnam Makam Ba'ahuva Lifnam Makam means the more obvious meaning of what the words of the Gemara mean, that is there a case of a wife who is hated by Hashem versus a wife who is loved by Hashem? So Tosfos says, why not? We could be talking one of the Tzadikas and one of the Rasha. The answer is again, in that case, there's no reason to say because the mother is a Rashanta, therefore that the child should lose out. Again, the Pasuk doesn't have to tell us that. Rather, Ella, Ahuva means Ahuva ben Yisrael, Snua means Snua ben Yisrael. The words Ahuva and Snua are not talking about how the husband relates to them, and they're not talking about how Hashem relates, well, they are talking in a way about how Hashem relates to them. It's about what does Hashem think of this marriage? Does he love it? Is it something that's valid? Is it something that we mutter up yalacha? Yesh kedushin ve'ein avera, the first group in our Mishnah, or was it yesh kedushin ve'yesh avera, the second group?
Is it kosher?
Not kosher, right. Kedushin are toifas, that's the point. We're saying kedushin are toifas, because b'kam rachman ki-tiyena. The pasuk nevertheless uses the word, if they will be. Again, tiyena, maloshin havaya, is the expression that we've been using throughout Seder Nashim. We've always said that implies kedushin. So it implies that even the snua, even the one who the Eibishter hates this marriage because it's a wife involved, nevertheless kedushin are toifas. But so that's then the point of the pasuk. Even though in the case this man had two wives, one of them he married Beheter, the other one he married the Issa, because it was an Issa wife. You would think in that case maybe that affects the child. Maybe in that case the child's not entitled to his double portion. No, nevertheless, he is. But anyway, we see from the implication of that pasuk that even a snua, even though it's hated by the Eibishter because there's an Issa wife involved, nevertheless kedushin are toifas, and therefore the child's not a mamzer. Okay. Now the question becomes, because kitsiyena, right, which is a lashon of halya, showing that kedushin are toifas, right? Okay. So now the Gemara is going to take up later the question, what about, how do you know? I mean, there's a case where it's snua without involving a lav, there's a case involving ethics. So we'll get back to that soon. What about maybe the pasuk is only implying that kedushin are toifas by yisuda ethics? No, an essay is less than a loy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I mean, the pasuk only says kisiyena ishtei nashim ha'achas avuva v'achas snua. It doesn't explicitly say what snua means. We're having to deduce that snua means a lav. How do you know? Maybe snua means only an essay. Maybe lav it wouldn't be terrible. So we'll get back to that soon. But first, we have to ask the usual question, the Rabbi Akiva, dama in kedushin terpes in v'chai v'lavin. What about a point of Rabbi Akiva that kedushin are not terpes with chai v'lavin, as we've learned many times? Kisiyena, remind Mokin, then what does he understand the part of Kisiyena to be referring to? According to him, Taka, if there's an Issu lab, the tradition are not Tosfos, and the child is a mamzer. So according to him, what does Kisiyena and one of them is Snua mean? The answer is Almana, the Kohen Gadol. He can explain that talking about the case of an Almana marrying a Kohen Gadol, the Chirib Simai, and it would be like Chirib Simai's explanation. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, we've learned this also a few times, including we had it just the other day. Rav Simai, Omer, Mina Kol Hoyer Rav Akiva Oysa Mamzer, Rav Akiva held that all kinds of cases where there's an Issu Lav or anything beyond the Lav, obviously, Kardas and Nisus Beis Dinosa, that the child's a Mamzer. No, the Halacha is not Mamzer, Rav Akiva. The Halacha is a Kriminatim. Chutz me Almana l'Kohen Gadol, except for the one case of Almana l'Kohen Gadol, why? Sharei Omer Torah, lo yichalo, because the Torah says a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, that he should not make his children chalalim, it's in this week's parasha, implying chilulim oisei ve'en oisei mamzer. He only causes the child to be a chalal by doing that, but not a mamzer. So kisiyena l'ishtei noshim, could be talking about a case a Kohen Gadol has two wives. One is a regular psula, as we're going to say soon. The other one is an almana. So the Almona is called Snua. The Eibishter hates it because he was offered to do it. It's an Isur Lav. Nevertheless, the child's not a Mamzer. And Kedushin HaTovus. Because of this word, Lo Yechav, implying that Kedushin HaTovus and the child's not a Mamzer. He's a Kolo, but not a Mamzer.
And in some Yechav means if he is Yechav, he's going to be a Mamzer. That's the point.
Well, right. What about, though, we still have to ask, what about a coin to Rabbi Yeshiva? To Omer Boyer and Tzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef. He says, come, let's cry out and complain against this opinion of Akiva ben Yosef. Again, he was Rabbi Akiva's chaver, so therefore he called him that. Shoya Omer, that he says, Kol she'en le'bia b'Yisrael ha'plad mamzer. Any case where the bia is osur among the Jewish people, where there's no heter for the marriage, then the child is a mamzer. So according to him, wouldn't it come out the same thing would apply to Amon of the Kohen Gadol? Which, by the way, I mean, so what would Rabbi Sheva do with Pasuk Lo Yechalol? He might explain that Lo Yechalol is telling us it's an issue for the Kohen Gadol to cause that this is actually the halacha. It's an issue for a Kohen Gadol to cause that a woman should become a halola by marrying her, such as an Amon.
It's a law.
It's a law, yeah. Cool, because when he marries her, she being an Amon, now she becomes a halola.
That's the problem with more him than down.
Well, I mean, he's also, he gets malchus. But the point is, she now becomes a halala. She can never marry any kohen.
Any kohen.
Yeah.
The other way, she has been written lo yechula. He's not going to be.
No, lo yechula is passive. We're talking active. Lo yechalo means that he's causing a halal. No, either way, lo yechalo, either according to the first explanation, means he's causing his children to be, that he should not cause his children to be halal. And the other one is he should cause his wife to become a halal. Yeah. Whatever.
She can marry a Kohen when she's married.
If she's an Almana, no, if she's an Almana, if the Kohen Gadol dies and she's still an Almana, she would have been allowed to, were it not for the fact that a Kohen Gadol with an Almana makes her a Chalala. Okay. Anyway, so, Panicha L'Rabbi Yesheva, so fine. Now, we said the other day that there's two ways of understanding what Rabbi Yesheva says. One is that he's adding to what Rabbi Simai says, and the other is that he's disagreeing with him. So, Panicha L'Rabbi Yesheva, if he is coming to argue with Rav Simai to say, you're saying that Almana L'Kohen Gadol was an exception, I'm saying that Almana L'Kohen Gadol is not an exception, chapter, then it's still okay because you still have one final set of cases where he would say that Rabbi Akiva does not make him a mamzer, namely Chayav Eser. For example, a first or second generation Mitzri Yodrei, where we said that it's only an Isser Eser for Yisrael to marry him.
To
marry a first generation mystery or a Jamie convert. So therefore, if we understand Rabbi Sheva that way, then good, then we can understand. Then we still have a way of understanding what snua means. Again, ha'achatahuva means a man has two wives, let's say. One of them is beloved by the Eibishter in the sense that her marriage was perfectly kosher. The other one, let's say, was a first or second generation mystery convert, diaris, and therefore snua. But we would say, nevertheless, the child's not a mamzer. That would be the point. You see, yena kedushin
ha'tovus.
Because it only applies to lavim and above. But if you understand Rabbi Sheva that way, fine. Ela itaim of the nafshei kama. But if Rabbi Sheva is saying an independent statement, he's not only arguing with Rabbi Simai, he's saying a general rule, any case where there's any kind of aveira involved, including an eser, if afilu chayova eser, in which case he includes that even chayova eser would make him a mamzer. Then we're back to the question, according to that understanding of Rabbi Sheva, how do you understand what's the case of Snua? The answer is, we could say, it's talking about the case of a Kohen Gadol who marries a woman who's previously had relations. We know it says in our parasha that a Kohen Gadol, okay, so there's the Isturim, he has the Isturim that all Kohenim have, he's not allowed to marry a Grusha, a Halala, or a Zayin. On top of that, being a Kohen Gadol, he also has a Lav, not to marry an Amon. Besides that, there's a special S on him, Vuhu Isha Bipsuleha Yikach. That he should take a wife who's a Bipsula. Yes. So therefore, if he takes a wife who is not a Grusha Halala Zoyner Amana, but not a Bipsula either, let's say, for example, she had relations, or she was a Pnuya, and she had relations with somebody, doesn't make her a Zoyner, according to the Halacha, as we learned it in Yubamas. We have an opinion there that it does, but that's not the Halacha.
Right?
She lost it, yeah, whatever. Yeah, we talked about Mokas Ace over there, yeah, we had various
talks.
Even bonus, yeah. So in that case, so that is an Isser Eser. And there we could say, nevertheless, even Rabbi Yesheva, even that second understanding of Rabbi Yesheva, would not say that the child of a Kohen Gadol and a Ba'ula would be a Mamzer. Question is, Mishnah, so what's the difference? Why would we say that other Chayva Eser yes, and this one not? The reason is Mishum Dehavila Esther Shein Shava Bakurl, because it is an Esther that does not apply generically to the whole Jewish people or to all Kohen. It applies just to the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, it's a more lenient kind of Esther. So Rabbi Akiva Eger talks about this. He says, I mean, after all, Amon of the Kohen Gadol was also an Esther that's specific to the Kohen Gadol. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva make, why doesn't Rabbi Sheva rather make an exception? Rabbi Sheva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva make an exception for that also. He says the difference is he learns that with an Amon of the Kohen Gadol, the Esther is on both of them. Both of them are being over on a lot. When it comes to a Kohen Gadol and Psula, he says that the Esther is only on the Kohen Gadol. If a Ba'ula marries a Kohen Gadol, she's not being over anything. Only he's being over, because Bahu is Shabbat Sabah Yirka.
Can he stay
a
Kohen Gadol if he does this kind of thing?
Well, if he's married to an Amona, then the din is a Kohen in general. A Kohen who's married to one of the women who's also to him is not allowed to serve in the mission in Chorus that says that he's not allowed to serve in the Mishmetash, or nowadays the Zuchan or whatever, until he divorces her and makes a neder that he won't have any further hanoa from her. Does that apply in the case of Ba'ula? I don't know.
She's
indeed, but Rabbi Akiva Eger learns that when it's only an Esther, then when the case of a Ba'ula, where it's only an Esther, then the Esther is only, the violation of the Esther is only on him, not on her. And therefore, even according to the Yeshiva, then there wouldn't be that wouldn't be a case among there. So fine. So you have now. Rabbi Akiva is understanding Rabbi Akiva. That's what I mean. So therefore, the bottom line is that the bottom line is that according to Rabbi Akiva, according to the various ways of understanding Rabbi Akiva, we still have a few ways of explaining this pasuk ha'asnua. We still have a way of finding that a woman is a snua, but the marriage is hated by Hashem. So there's an Esther involved, and nevertheless, kedushin are chosen. Going back now to Rabbanon, going back now to the opinion of the Rabbanon against Rabbi Akiva, which we said before, we established that according to them, snua means that there's an issur lav, and we said even though there's an issur lav kedushin artofus, and we use that as a limud to say that with the exception of a yavama, all cases where there's an issur lav kedushin artofus, and the child's not a mamzer, the question is, instead of shtelling ayin that snua refers to a case of chayve laven, noitma b'chayve eset. Why don't you do, like we just said, we could do a koin to Rabbi Akiva, a koin to Rabbi Yeshiva, and say that it's talking about Yisrael eset. Say, for example, that what the pasuk is telling us is if a Yisrael is married, let's say, to a mistress, Rishon or Shnia, then the child is not a mamzer, but if he's married to any Yisrael lav, such as, for example, a koin gadol with a regular koin, rather, with a grusha, then the child would be a mamzer, maybe. How do we know? The pasuk once says snua. Doesn't explicitly say what snua is. We're trying to figure it out. The answer is you can't say that because what kind of chayve esther would you be talking about? Ishte and mitzriya. If you're talking, for example, both of them are first or second generation mitzri dioros, ishte and snua. Well, you can't say one is ahuva and one is snua. Neither one he was allowed to marry. So you're going to say that one of them is a mitzvah in the first two generations and the other one is a born Israelis? You can't, because when the pasuk says a man has two wives, the implication is the only difference between them is that one is Avuva and one is Snura, not that they're from different nationalities. A mitzvah Shoshono Shnia would be considered for that purpose like from a different nationality than a Bas Israel. Okay, because that's what we're assuming. That's what we say, that Shtei Noshim implies that the only difference between them is that one is Ahuva and one is Snua. Okay, so the Rosh and a couple of other Rishonim say, why can't we assume that one of them is a Mitzvah Shnia and the other is a Mitzvah Shlishis? Let's say one of the second generation Mitzvah, the other one of the third generation Mitzvah, who is allowed Lava Bekohol, they're still from one nation. The answer is because no, once they're allowed Lava Bekohol, once a third generation Mitzvah is allowed to freely marry among the Jewish people, you can't consider her as being a Mitzvah anymore. She's considered a full-fledged Bat Yisrael. So you move back to it's not Shtei Noshim from one people anymore, yeah. So necessarily, And so when it comes to a Yisrael, there's no way to say that he would be married to one who is an Isser Esser and the other one who there's no Isser at all and be from one people. E Ba'ula the Kohen Gadol, and you're going to say, what about, you can argue again the case of a Ba'ula marrying a Kohen Gadol. You could argue the case where you have two wives, one is not, one is a Psula and one is a Ba'ula, whether from the same nation. The problem with that is Miksiv Tiyen al Kohen. The pasuk doesn't start up by saying Kis Tiyen al Kohen. Kisiyan al-Ish, implying any Yisrael. Well, by any Yisrael, you don't have such a possibility. Therefore, it can't be talking about that. Therefore, by elimination, it must be talking about Isurei Lavan. Okay. V'Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would say, look, you know, Baal Kochach, you're forced to, Shavkei Lekra, you're going to have to leave alone the Pasuk. In other words, you're going to have to be forced to explain the Pasuk that way to have it Dachuk or Mokei Anafshu, because the Pasuk itself shows that by reading the Pasuk and then trying to understand it, we see there's a certain Dachuk in it. We see there's a certain difficulty in understanding the Pasuk. Therefore, of necessity, we have to understand it the way that we're saying. You're right. It's a Dachuk to say that Kisiyena Le'ish is limited to the case of the Kohen Gadol among all the Jewish people. Nevertheless, since that's the only alternative, that's what it's got to be.
Because there's no other way.
Because there's no other way. Yeah. So therefore, that is where, so precisely from that, he would say that the snua in this case has to be the Be'ulah, the Kohen Gadol. It can't be anything else. Whereas again, according to the Chachamim do not accept that. The Chachamim say you still can't be dosed with the Pasuk like that. You have to say that Kisiyena Le'ish means something that's capable of happening with any Jew. Therefore, you're back to Isurei Lavan, because there's no possibility of Isurei Esed. So that's the underlying machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva then.
Chachamim prevail.
Yeah, well, the halacha is like, I saw, by the way, you're mentioning the Chachamim prevail. I mean, yeah, the usual rule is that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he's arguing against the individual Tana, but not against the Chachamim in general. I saw a cute verse from the Vilna Gaon. He says, why of all things, Rabbi Yosheva uses the expression, come up, cry out against the Kivim. Why such an unusual expression? He says, because Rabbi Yosheva knew that the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Akiva, mechavei roi v'loi mechavei rav. So he's saying, you know what, if I'm the only one arguing against him, look, the halacha is going to be established like it. We don't want that. We don't want them to be suffering mamzeir among the Jewish people. Come, let all of us, chachamim, go and cry out against him and argue against him, and that way we'll be the roi, and the halacha won't be like him.
And the
chachamim
still said that.
No, apparently they did, because the rest of them did argue with him, and the halacha is not like him.
True.
Okay, you know, halacha is halacha. You know, it's very Abbas Yisrael, all very nice, but halacha is halacha. The Mishnah continued now. We have the fourth group in the Mishnah. Any case where a woman is not capable of doing kiddushin with this man or with any other man, namely a shifa or a goita, then we said the rule is the child's status follows her. So, shifa knanis. So we had two cases. We had a shifa knanis and we had a goita. So let's deal with each one of them. Shifa knanis minolon. Where do we see by a shifa knanis that the child is considered to inherit her status, regardless of the father? Amar Avona, Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Abraham says to the people who were accompanying him, Eliezer and Yishmael, he says, Shvu lachem kori imachamer, stay over here with the donkey, which is im, we darshan as being similar to the word am. Therefore, am hadoim lachamer, a nation that is similar to a chamer, that's similar to a donkey. Eliezer is Eved Abraham. Okay, we're ignoring Yishmael for the purpose over here. Eliezer is Eved Abraham. Well, I'm saying Eliezer being an Eved, that's what we're saying. An Eved is compared to a Chamer. Therefore, just like with a Chamer, you don't have the child of a Chamer is not considered to go after his father. There is a machlokes in a few places in Shas where the choshesh in the zera'ah, whether you have to consider the father's contribution in halacha, but basically you go according to the mother. This week's parish, we have oiz debes b'nai, we have a din that you're not allowed to shech a parent and child animal on the same day, and Rashi says right there, based on the Gemara and Cholim, that applies only to a mother animal and the young, not to the father. Even though the Torah phrases it as oizoi in the masculine. So the same thing over here. We're saying with chamer, the child doesn't follow the father. So therefore, that's how it is by a body. Ashkechan le'tafsi b'kedushi. Actually, no. This ama derma l'chamer rather is not about whether it follows the father or the mother or whatever. It's rather about the fact that kedushin aren't total. Just like you can't do kedushin with a chamer, nor can you do kedushin with a shifa or whatever. Okay, Ashkechon le'tafsi b'kedushi. Fine. So that explains an Eved and a Shifa are basically the same thing. And one's male, one's female. But
right, but the extension from a Chamer.
Because we're saying that the Am Hadoim al-Chamer in the sense that you can't do kedushin with a Chamer, and therefore you can't do kedushin with an Eved or a Shifa either. So, Ashkechon lo tafsi b'kedushin. Fine. So that establishes that you can't do kedushin with an eved or a shikha. Valda k'moitim anova. And where do we see the concept that her child follows her status? The answer is, which Tosfos points out the question really is, how do we know that, for example, okay, granted, we said that, I mean, look, even in the second group of the Mishnah, we said, Avladha l'chaka pogu, that the child follows the one of lesser status. So fine, it's fairly obvious then that, okay, if a Yisrael has relations with a Shifa, fairly obviously the Shifa is of a lower status, therefore the child will follow that. That's not the question. The question is, how do we know, for example, that a child from a Shifa is not considered his son for any purpose? Not to Yashin him, if he's a Kohen, he can't become Tomei to him, there's no Yibum involved, we learned about this in Yivamos, that for all purposes, any son of any brother, for example, is considered a brother as far as Yibum Mechalitza, so even if the brother is a Mamzer, but not a brother from a Shifa. So how do we know that? The answer is, Omakraha, you should be led there, Tiyaladeh, for the Pasuk tells us by an Eved Ivri, that if the Eved Ivri is, that if the Eved Ivri's master gives him a Shifcha Knanis, Ha'isha be led there, Tiyaladeh, the woman, the Shifcha Knanis, and her children will belong to her master. So there you go, they follow her. They follow her status. Doesn't matter. The point still remains, we see from that, that the children of a Shifcha follow her status.
So this is the ownership. He says that it's the status.
That's what we're talking about, the status. I mean, we're saying tia ladonea means that they are considered avodim. They're considered avodim. When the Eved Ivri goes free, they don't.
And we extend that to the...
We extend that in general to the children of a shifa, yeah. To the children of any shifa. Okay. Nachris menola, next. How do we see the same thing apply? How do we see the same two things apply to a goita? Again, we have to establish both things, that tradition aren't tofus. Not just that Kedushin on Tofus, that Kedushin on Shayach, rather, I should say. Kedushin on Tofus is a case of Arayas, again, where, for example, a man and a sister, Kedushin on Tofus, but she could do Kedushin with somebody else. Here we're talking about with Kedushin on Shayach. So with the Eved Shifcha, we said, Kedam Adam El Hamer. So first we have to establish with a Goyke, how do we know that Kedushin on Tofus, that there's no... And Tofus, the difference is, for example, a man does Kedushin with a sister. Kedushin on Tofus. But that sister is capable of doing Kedushin with somebody else. She's shayach to kedushin. She is betorah given the kedushin, as it's called in Gemara terminology. Whereas an eved or a shifcha is not. So that's what we have to figure out. How do we know, first of all, that with a goita that kedushin are not tofus? The reason is amakro lo tischaten bam, because the pasuk says you should not intermarry with them, which means that Rashi says therefore it means that if you marry them, it's not considered to be a marriage. There is no chasnus. There is no valid marriage in halacha. Okay, Ashkachna the loytachsi b'kedushi. Fine. So okay, that establishes then that kedushin are not toifets with a goita. Or meaning that she's not the Torah, again, that she's not the Torah given the Kedushin, but she's not the Torah Kedushin at all, the Kedushin are not Shaya. She doesn't have the capacity for any kind of Kedushin, right? Fine. Vlodika Mosim and Olam. Again, we have to ask, where do we see by a Jewish father and a Goyish mother that the child follows her status? Omer of Yerchen, of Shemer, Shemen Yechoy, the Omakro, because the Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk, right after the Pasuk, Loitis Chapinbom, the Torah continues that if you do intermarry with them, the Torah says like this. You're not allowed to intermarry with them. The pasuk continues. Bitcho leitzitin l'gno. You should not give your daughter in marriage to a goy's son. Ubito leitzikach l'gnecha. And don't take a goy's daughter as a wife for your son. Now the next pasuk continues. Ki yoser es bincha me'achrai. For he will remove your son from after me. Now what does that mean? So Rashi explains the vote is like this. The pasuk is only mentioning your son. What about your daughter? If the previous pasuk mentioned two cases of intermarriage, where you're letting your son, where you're giving your son in marriage to a goita, or where you're taking a goyish son-in-law as a husband for your daughter, if it mentioned both cases, then the following pasuk is the same thing. Ki yoser as bincha ubincha ubitecha me'acharai, or word to that effect. Yeah. We learn from that bincha bomi Yisraelit kori bincha. We learn from that as follows. A child of yours who comes from a Jewish woman is called your son. But a child of yours, actually a grandchild of yours, actually explains, who comes from a goita, is not called your son, but rather her son. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi explains, the limud is as follows. Piyotis bincha me'achrei means like this. We're not talking about the bincha does not refer to the son who married the goita. We're not saying that his wife is going to cause him to go away from Yiddishkeit. She may well do that, practically speaking, but that's not what the pasuk is talking about. And in fact, we're showing him say. I mean, you know, again, I mean, nowadays, of course, you know, we take it as a given if a person intermarries, Rahman al-Islam, it shows they had a very weak background in Yiddishkeit, but, you know, that this is because we know there's an Isser. We're trying to establish over here the Isser. Were it not for the fact that there was an Isser of intermarriage, you could argue, and we're showing him do, that what the point of the limud is, that you could argue somebody who was raised as a frum Yid is not going to be so quick to be drawn away from Yiddishkeit by his spouse. So therefore, that in and of itself is not what the pasuk is saying is the problem. The problem is rather the next generation. Ki Yosef es bincha me'achrei means that your son, by marrying a goita, is going to...
Meaning your grandson, right.
Rather the other way around. It means that if your daughter marries a goy, that goy, your son-in-law, ki Yosef es bincha, is going to cause your son, meaning your grandson, somebody who's considered a Yid, is going to cause him to go away from Yiddishkeit. He's going to raise him as a goy, and he's not going to learn about Yiddishkeit. Whereas the Torah doesn't say it the other way around, right? Because if it's a goyish daughter-in-law, then the child's not a Yid anyway. There's no toser as bincha. There's no your son to remove from Yiddishkeit. He's not considered your son anyway. That's how Rashi explains the limud. Tosfos discusses a couple of other possibilities of the limud. Rabbi Natam in Tosfos has two other explanations. The first one, which Tosfos ends up saying is the preferred explanation, goes like this: the ki yosir is referring to the goyish father-in-law. Your mechutin. So what's going to happen? Your mechutin is going to, according to Tosfos, that yes. The bincha is referring to your son, the one who's married to the goyte. Ki yosir, that father-in-law, your mechutin, will end up causing your son to go away from Yiddishkeit if he's married to his daughter. We're not even talking about the grandchild. Implying, that's the thing, implying, why are we only concerned about the son? Why are we not concerned about the grandchildren? Because the grandchildren are already going. Yes, that's the thing. Yes. That's how Rabbi Natan learns the language. Omar Ravina, and Ravina says, Shmamina, we see from that, Ben Bitcha Bamina over to Chavim Kari Bincha. We see from that, by the way, that the son of your daughter, where your daughter was married to or had relations with a guy, is still called Bincha, is still called your son, he's still considered a Yisrael. As opposed to the son of a Goyish mother. Actually, Rashi mentions an interesting thing. Rashi has an interesting line over here, which is that the son of in a few lines, Rashi has an interesting expression that this son of a Jewish mother and a Goyish father is going to require gevurah. Now, we know ma'isim b'chol yom, unfortunately, you know, that there are cases of intermarriage or interrelations like that, and we know that gevurah is not required. So the halacha is not like what Rashi said. For a child of a Jewish mother and a Goyish father doesn't require gerus. So that's because Rashi is not the only opinion on the subject. There's a Gemara in Yevamot that talks about this. Rashi and Rabbi Tam have a bit of an argument over there when the Gemara says over there, Goy v'Eved habo al bat Yisrael avlad kosher. What does it mean, avlad kosher? Does it mean he's fully kosher, he's a fully kosher Yid, or the Gemara has another opinion over there that he's a mamzer, which again is not the halacha, and Tosfos brings up the interesting possibility there that avlad kosher means he's a kosher to goy. In the sense, he's a goy, but he's not a mamzer. We learned that. He's not a Yid. So again, that fits with what Rashi's saying over here, that he would require gerus. Again, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is like the other Rishonim, the Rambam and others. And we say that a blood kosher means exactly what it sounds like. The child is a full-fledged Yid, with the exception, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, that a daughter of an intermarriage like that should not marry a Kohen. Although even then, I think B'dieved, I think if she did, we don't force them to get divorced, but Achila, she shouldn't. There is one interesting thing that a couple of Achronim discussed. that what about, for example, in this case, a child of a Jewish mother and a Goyish father, is there maybe a possibility that if their bris comes out on Shabbos, maybe that you shouldn't do it on Shabbos? Given that you do have this opinion of Rashi and that opinion of Tosfos over there in Yevamah, that the child is a Goy without any and requires Geirus, you can't do that on Shabbos. Again, the halacha is not like that. Again, ma'is and b'chol yoyim, that such brisim are done on Shabbos. But there does exist such a discussion among our friends. Machmir in the sense that he needs geirus. I mean, it comes out of kula. On the other hand, that if he doesn't become a geir, then he's only chayiv in the Shabbos. But we talked about also in Yevamos. We talked about there's other interesting opinions on this. There's an interesting opinion of Maharis al-Ghazi that it really depends how the child is raised. If he's raised as a child of a Jewish mother and a Goyish father, if he's raised as a Yid, then he's a Yid. If he's raised as a Goy, then he's a Goy. Anyway, that's not the halacha either. Right?
Yeah. We don't follow Rashi.
No, we don't in this case. We don't follow Rashi. Right? Okay. The question is, name a Kasava Ravina. Well, in that case, does that imply that Ravina holds? Actually, there. Here, now we have this thing. Does that mean that Ravina? Does that imply that Ravina is saying that if a goy or an eved has relations with a bas Yisrael, the child is a mamzer? Meaning, in other words, that since Ravina is letting you should know that such a child is considered bincha. So fine, that tells you that he doesn't. He's considered bincha in the sense that you don't consider him a full fledged goy. But he can still be a mamzer. It sounds like that's what Ravina is saying. Yeah, the answer is nihid kosher lehavi, mamzer lehavi. No, because as a matter of fact, you could argue he's not full-fledged kosher, but he's not a mamzer either. Pothel mikri, he's called pothel, which again has implications as far as if it's a daughter, her marrying a kohen, but that's it. Okay, now the Gemara asks, though, a more basic question. So what are we saying? We're learning this whole concept of that Kiddushin are not shayach with a goita, and that the child of a goyish mother is considered to be a goy. These psukim that talk about like chatin bam bincha lesiten, bincha lesikach, ki yoster es bincha mayach, right? The Gemara asks, ha'hu b'shiva goyim siv. That whole thing is talking about specifically the seven nations of Canaan. It starts off, the previous pasuk begins, ki viyach ha'asham lekech al ha'aretz, the Eibishter is going to bring you into Israel and kick out the seven nations, so don't make any covenants with them, don't let them stay there, etc., etc. Who says it applies to all the other nations in the world? So Shar Umas Menolan, where do we see it applies to the other nations? The answer is Amakruk, Yasser es Bincha, because the pasuk continues, the pasuk that we just quoted, that he'll remove your son from following me. Again, according to Rashi, the Tosfos has various understandings of how that yields the din. But whatever it is, the point is, L'ramis, Kolam Asirim, the word Ki Yasser comes to include any goyim who will remove your child from your son or your grandson or whatever, according to the different limudim, from following Yiddishkeit.
How do we know it's part of every?
Because that's what I mean. The point is, the pasuk is giving us a reason. That don't do it, kiyosu, because they will remove. Well, I mean, the other nations in the world worship Avodah Zarah or otherwise don't follow Yiddishkeit just as much as the seven nations of Canaan. So therefore, there's no reason to distinguish. If you say that it applies to them, it applies to everybody.
And if you wanted to distinguish, how would you have written?
Then the Torah wouldn't have said kiyosu. The Torah would have just, the Torah wouldn't have given a reason. It would have just said, don't intermarry with the seven nations. Okay, the problem with that is, fine, that works out according to Reb Shimon, who says that when the Torah gives us a mitzvah, we analyze what's the reason that the Torah gave us the mitzvah, and then based on that, we determine the details of the halacha. According to Reb Shimon, we can understand. When the pasuk says ki yosir, is, in other words, that the Torah did not have to give us a reason explicitly. This is how Rashi learns it. The Torah did not have to give us a reason explicitly. The Torah could have left out the reason. We would deduce it ourselves. Once the Torah is giving us a reason, then fine, you can argue that it means that it means l'rabbis sharulim. El l'rabbanan, my time. But what about according to the Rabbanan? According to the Rabbanan, that we don't say darshin and time of dekra. We should argue that maybe, yes, maybe, in fact, the seven nations are unique among the goyim. They are more addicted to Avodah Zarah than anybody else. So maybe the Torah is telling us that davka the seven nations, ki yosir, they will cause your child to abandon Yiddishkeit, but the other ones maybe not. That's how Rashi learns. the Ram learns the question somewhat differently. That according to Reb Shimon, that Dorish time of the crow, then we can say that if the pasuk is telling us that the reason is because the goyim will make you go away from Yiddishkeit, then fine, that includes any goyim who would do that, including all the other nations in the world. But if you say that loy doshin and time of the crow, then we only have what the Torah is writing, the seven nations. Where do you get to include any other nations? The answer is Omakro, because you have another pasuk. Ba'achal ken tovei eleo ba'alta regomer. That the pasuk says by Yifas Torah that after you've done everything that everything that's done over there, including that you're Megayer, only then can you have relations with her. Only then can you come to her and have relations with her. Mikal de meikro leitafti b'hoisa l'chole yishu the pasuk means she'll be your wife, implying mikal de meikro leitafti b'kedushin, implying that before all that is done, kedushin are not tofes with her. There you have a achal ken, only after all the procedure has been done. Because we still have to figure out Vladikamotim and Nolan, because we still have the problem of how do we know that her child follows her status. The reason is Amakrok, Hisiyenala Ishvi Yodaloi, because the Pasuk says, the next section in Parashat Kisese is the case of Kisiyena Le'ish, a case where a man has two wives, with Ha'uva Vasnur, etc., the Yoduloi, and they bear to him children. Implying, any case where you can speak of it as kisiyena, that there is kiddushin, again, kisiyena is a lashon of kiddushin, then kodin beviyolduloi, then we can also apply, it's called beyolduloi, that he's considered to have a yichus after his father. So even if he's, even for example, with an isolav, for example, we said the child follows the pogrom, but he's still considered his father's son. He's still Yarshan's son. He's still Yarshan's his father, for example. But cholech at the leker in bekisiyana, whereas if it's not kisiyana, namely a goiter, whereas we established kedushin are not tofes by a pastor, leker in maybe yodulai, then you can't say the child does not have any yichus after the father. He strictly goes according to the mother. So he's a goiter. Okay, then the question is, Yihachi Shifchanami. In that case, why are you saying it applies only to a goita? Say the same thing as Shifcha as well. In that case, we don't need the limud from Aisha v'yiladeh t'yiladeh that we brought at the beginning of the Amud. Okay, the answer is Enochanami. True. Ela ha'isha v'yiladeh t'yiladeh ne'er lovely. So why do we need that pasuk, given that we can learn it from Kisiyena? So you're asking why the Gemara didn't just bring that limud by the Yifas Torah and Kisiyena? The Pashtus, I guess, because it's not as clear a limud as the one from Kiyosar has been. Yeah. Actually, by the way, just to interject a second, the Yerushalmi tells an interesting story. I think we talked to the Yerushalmi on this Mishnah, tells an interesting story. We talked about it, I think, in Yevamos as well, that there was a guy, one of the Amiroyim named Yaakov Ish Kfar Giburaya, whatever. He one time, he was in Sur, in Tyre, nowadays in Lebanon. They asked him, if you have a child of a Goyish mother and a Jewish father, and he needs a bris, can you do that on Shabbat? He passed him that yes.
We see here,
but he's a goy. You're not supposed to. So Rabbi Chagai, one of the great Amoraim of that time, sends a message to him: come to my Beis Din, you're going to get Malkus. So Yaakov comes. Malkus for what? Because such a child is considered a goy. So Yaakov says, what's your proof for it? So Rabbi Chagai says, I'll bring you a pasuk from Ezra. It tells over there how Jewish men had intermarried with Goyish women, that they have to get a whole, that they made a whole to-do about it, that everybody has to separate from their wives. So there you go. So no, the point, no, he's going to give him Malkus for telling them that they can break Shabbos, basically. Ah. But so you see from that story in Ezra, you see that the child, and it says over there, not just the wives, but also says we're going to get rid of any of the Goyish children that we had. The people say, we're ready to do that. Let's get both of them together and figure out which cases of Gairus were and weren't valid, and we'll follow suit. So there you go. You see that the children follow the mother. So Yaakov says, fine, but that's a pasuk from Ksuvim. How can you prove from that again in the Torah? You need a pasuk in the Torah. Reb Chagai tells him that Ezra continues. Ezra actually, Shchanya ben Yechiel, the person who's speaking up over there, continues. The Chatorah Ye'ot, it will be done according to the Torah. So you see, the Torah says so.
So why did they do it differently?
No. Who did it? In Ezra's time, people were being over on that. People were being over on them. But now that Ezra made a whole to-do about it, then Shchanya ben Yechiel got up and said, you know what, it's true. We've got to talk to do something about it. But yeah, we got to do the right thing. Anyway, so he says, the Chatorah Ye'ot. So still, Yaakov says, fine, but Chatorah Ye'ot still, where do you see in the actual Torah that it says it to be? And he quotes in the pasuk, Ki Yaakov has been from Akhlai. And then at that point, Yaakov says, you know what? Go ahead and give me the pitch. Better that than, you know what, I better that than what I'm getting in the Olam Haba.
And he did.
And he did.
How many?
And then history didn't record that detail. Okay. So anyway, back to Agamotto. Ella. Maybe. I don't know. It's Makas Magus, I guess. It could be discretionary. I don't know. Okay. So going back to our Gemara, given that now we are able to learn from Kisi Yena V'Yoduloi, that any case where there's not possible Kiddushin, where Kiddushin are not Shayach, namely Goita or Shifa, then the child follows the mother. So why do we need the Pasuk Isha V'Yoduloi Atiyah L'Adinah? The answer is L'Chadukani. We use it for the following din that we learn in a Braisa. Say if somebody says to his shivcha when she's pregnant, Hare at Baskurin of Lodich Eved, I'm gonna free you, you're gonna become a Baskurin, a full fledged Bas Yisrael. However, your child will be considered an Eved. Havlad Kamoisa Div Rabbi Yisraeli. The Rabbi Yisraeli said, no good. The child still follows her. So therefore the child becomes an Eved Meshuchar as well. Div Rabbi Yisraeli, Vachamim and Dvar of Kayamim. Whereas the Chachamim say what he says has validity, you're able to do that. Mishum shenema ha'isha v'ledeh t'yilad ener. And now the bride says, because the pasuk says the woman and her children will belong to her master. The question is, my Talmud, how do you learn that? How do you learn from that this concept of dvar kayamin? Amar Rava, Ad Rabbi Yosi Aglizi. So Rava says those words, mishum shenema ha'isha v'ledeh t'yilad ener, is going back on Rabbi Yosi Aglizi. You know, Rabbi Yosi Aglizi stated his din that havlad k'moyim. Before he had a chance to bring his naya, the Chachamim interjected and said, no, dvar kayamin. So now Rabbi Yisrael really is continuing. Where do I see that Havlad Kamaisa? Because the pasuk says, Ha'isha v'ilodeh, t'yiladeneh, that Ha'isha v'ilodeh, it's a hekesh between them, that's the, whatever the isha is, v'ilodeh are the same thing. And therefore, so that's what we use that, therefore that's what we have that pasuk for. So the halacha actually is like a chaman, that's Baruch Hayamim. So in that case, the Gemara is not saying what we do with the pasuk in the end, but okay. Well, Chacham have to have something to do with it. Okay, I guess it's fine. So you know, okay. So we have two ways of learning. We can still say that we can still say that Kisiyen Ishvi Yoduloi is talking about a goita, and Hishavila there teaches us about a shikha. Okay. Mishnah says the Tarfenimer Yecholin Mamzerin Litahar. A mamzer is actually able to make that his children should be tahor. Normally, mamzerus goes from generation to generation. A person is a mamzer, his children are mamzerim, etc., all the way down the generations, as long as it can be traced, as we'll learn in the next parak. But Rabbi Taifin is saying you have a way of undoing that. Ketzad, mamzer shenos a shivcha. Suppose a mamzer marries a shivcha. Well, we talked about it briefly. We talked about it briefly someplace in Yeramas, yeah. A mamzer marries a shivcha. Havlad Eved, and the child that they have is considered an Eved. Shichruoi, then if the... Not a mamzer. Yeah. Shichruoi, then when the father frees him, Nimta ben Chorin, then the child is a full-fledged ben Chorin, because the mamzerus does not... The mamzerus can't be together with the Abu. Actually, Tosfos Yomtov brings up an interesting point. Tosfos Yomtov says, why can't we say that the mamzer could marry a goita? There are opinions, I mean, we learned before that maybe Kedushin are Tophis, but there's actually a big machlokas, whether, especially outside of marriage, whether it's also Midoraisa or Dirabanan. If you say that it's only Dirabanan, then why can't he do that as well? He says the reason why the Tophis has not mentioned that as a possibility is because, practically speaking, with a Shivcha, you, the father, have the ability afterwards to be Meshachar that son, whether he wants to or not, and therefore make him a Ben Yisrael. If you do the same thing with a goita, the child is going to be a goya, as we just established in the previous sugya. You don't have the ability to force him to become a yid. And even actually, there is quite a bit of discussion among the poskim about the question of, we know, we learned in Ksubas that the ger katan afilonos al das beisin, that you are allowed to be megaya a child, and then, you know, when he or she becomes bar or bat mitzvah, they have the option to reject it or not. But in that case, a Jewish father and a goyish mother, given that we said the child goes only according to the mother's status, maybe the father, Taka, doesn't have the ability to be Magai or the child. Only the mother would. And there's a lot of discussion about that among Achronim. Because we're saying it goes strictly by the mother. The father was considered to have no relationship, la halacha, to this child. No, that's what we said, that you can do it al das based in, and then when they're higdilu, you call them in place. When they're older, they can...
What's the point of doing it?
The point is that at that point, they become a ger, and if at bar or bas mitzvah they accept it, then they've been a ger all this time.
But that's what I'm saying. If you consider they become a ger without da,
But that's fine because you were doing it al das based. And then later on, I can do the yichud and the limud about it in Ksubas. Anyway, Mepharshim discussed quite a bit the question over here. Rishonim talk about how is a mamzer allowed to marry a shifra? You have a pasuk that says, "Loisiyah kadeshim of Bnei Yisrael, loisiyah kadeshim of Bnei Yisrael," which teaches us that a bas Yisrael is not allowed to marry an eved, is not allowed to have relations with an eved, and a shifra is not allowed to have relations with a ben Yisrael. So how is a mamzer allowed to? And they give a couple of answers. One of them being that the pasuk is only talking about kosher to Jews. It's not talking about a mamzer to begin with. Or the Rambam gives a different explanation. He says the whole issue of a shifcha is only the Rabbanan. So therefore, in this case, for the sake of being able to be metaher with children, the Chachamim will allow it. Rabbi Eliezer says that still won't work. How is an eved mamzer? All you're going to have is now the child is going to be an eved who's also a mamzer, and when you free him, he'll bite to be a mamzer. So you haven't gained anything.
So for Rabbi Eliezer,
there's no way. He's Jewish, but he's a mamzer. Well, he's an eved up until he's freed, and but he's yeah. The Gemara says he boiled. Reb Typhon l'chila karma or the Evan karma? What is Reb Typhon saying? Is he saying that l'chila a mamzer is allowed to do this to marry a shifcha and be mitahir his children, or is he saying bidi eved if he had relations with a shifcha, then yes. Tashma, omre loy l'Reb Typhon. So we learn in a brayta that the other chachamim said to Reb Typhon, fine, tihavta as a schorim. Fine, you've taken care then of the schorim because Rashi says, namely, what's going to happen? That usually, as we learned yesterday or the day before, it's usually men who go to a different place in order to get married. They're the ones who go and look for the and look for the woman to marry her. That's what we said yesterday about the Abadim Knan, about a goy from some other nation who comes to Knan or vice versa. Right. So, in other words, that's the point. In other words, it's like this: if he's a mamzer, nobody's going to allow him to marry a shifra. But being a man and more easily able to travel for Shidduchim, he can go someplace where nobody knows him, and therefore, so fine, he'll say, I'm an Eved, he'll marry a Shikha, and nobody will know, and nobody will know better. But you haven't helped the Nekevet, because women are not usually going to go in Golos like that. Now, the Amad L'Hatchila Karma, now, if you're going to say to Typhon and say L'Hatchila, you're allowed to do this, Mamzeres Nami Tintiv L'Avda. So what's the problem? Why would anybody prevent a Mamzeres from marrying an Eved? Let her do it, gesunde heit. If we're saying it's mutter v'chachila for a male mamzer to marry a female shifra, then the same thing the other way around, and it shouldn't be a difference, men or women.
A female mamzeret
marrying a male eved.
I'm a mamzeret, I'm looking for an eved.
Yeah, if it's allowed v'chachila, why not? The reason is that won't work because eved ein lechayet. No, because we said that an Eved Knani, we said Amad Joim Lachamur, that the child does not inherit the father's status at all. So therefore, when we say Tihautas Aschorim, Blood Tihautas Anakavis, doesn't mean men have the ability to hide who they really are and pretend to be an Eved and marry a Shifcha, etc. What we mean is that if a Mamzeres were to do this, fine, let's say we'll allow it to Lachatchila. Won't help anything. The child is not going to inherit the Eved status of his father, he's going to inherit the Mamzeres status of his mother. So you're back to the child of Mamzeret. That's what they're telling him. They're telling him that your trick, fine, let's assume it's allowed the Hachila, your trick works for male Mamzeret. What's a female Mamzeret supposed to do for her? It doesn't work. So that's what they're saying. So you can still argue that we can very well understand the discussion if it's allowed the Hachila. You can't prove from that Rebbe Yerub Typhon is saying only the other. Okay, Tashma, come, let's bring another proof from an actual case. Reb Simloi's landlord, not really landlord, means the person that he boarded by. Many of the chachamim, when they went for many years away to learn in yeshiva, they boarded by Balabatin. So that Balabas is called an Ushpizichne. So here's this person. Yeah. Mamzer Hava, so this person was a mamzer. But Amalei, sort of, Simloi tells him, it's too bad. He says, I didn't know you long ago. Like this, you're already married and you have children. If I had known you a long time ago, Tartinu Levnach, I would have been able to make your children tahar. I would have given you advice how to go about making your children tahar, and now I'm there.
No,
it could be. Well, First of all, his kids will have, yeah, that's true, so it could be to tell them. It can be to tell them what to do for them. But besides that also, it may mean like this, the guy himself one day in the future will be able to do this for his later children. But besides that also, it may be just, you know, push the guy into a conversation. The guy saying, you know, it's a pity, I'm a mamzer, my children are going to be mamzerim. And sort of somebody tells him, you should know there's a way out. So, Iyam Bishlemah Hakhila, if you're going to say that he means that Reb Tirfin's advice means that you can do this Hakhila, Shapir. Okay, well, then now we understand what Reb Simloy is saying. I would Hakhila have told you to do like Reb Tirfin. Eliyam is B'Yevet. But if you're going to say that it's only allowed B'Yevet, Mayanir Demantiv, like Mayanihu, what would it be? How could he have said, I'm going to tell you to do an Isser? If we're going to understand that, according to Reb Tirfin, it's still also for a mamzer to marry a shifcha. And we're saying, Bidi Yevet, if he did, then the children are tahor. Not Hatzila. Then how could Reb Simloy be saying, you know what, I would have given you advice to be over and up in it? The answer is no. We could say that demansiv le'etza, because we could say that what Reb Simloy is saying is he would have said I would have given you advice as follows. Va'amale, I would have told you zilgnoiv, go steal the izdaben be'evadivri, and you'll be sold as an evadivri. Well, an evadivri, as we said, is allowed to have a shifts of madness. So therefore, you would have had a way of doing that as well. That's something that could be done machatzila. Now you have the obvious question: how can you tell them to go steal? So there's a number of interesting answers that the Tosfos Reed, I think it is, says that we're talking about when we say go steal, you find somebody who's willing to allow you to steal from him. So he'll be mosul on it ahead of time, let's say. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, you're not going to have what to be paid back. You're going to have to be sold as an evadivri, et cetera. Other Rishonim talk about other possibilities. The Rashba, I think it is, says we don't necessarily mean go steal. We just mean, I mean, it could just as well mean be sold as an evadivri. We know we learned earlier in the Masechta that another way a person can become an evadivri is selling himself poor.
Right.
So you could have done it that way. No, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to steal. It just means you could have arranged to be sold as an evadivri.
How does he have to wait until he frees the 7 years?
What you're talking about, the moms are married to a shifcha?
The moms are married to
a shifcha. No, you can free his son anytime he wants. Which actually, there is an interesting point. The Marsha points out, I mean, we're trying to say that he wouldn't have told him to do it in a way that's an Aveira. Isn't an Aveira to free an Eved Kanani, as we don't get in? You're over on that. And the answer is that's only when you're doing it without a good reason. Here, he's doing it for a very good reason, to be retired as children. That would be allowed. Okay. However, the Gemara says that wouldn't have worked. For B'shnei Reb Simloy ever did Mihava. In Reb Simloy's times, he lived long after the Churban. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, was there b'chlal such a thing as an ever divri? We learn in a Braisa, ain ever divri noyeg alav zman shal yovel noyeg. There's no such thing as an ever divri unless in the times of yovel. And usually we say that there was no yovel even once the 10 Shvatim went into Golos, which is towards the end of the first base of the, with the exception of one yovel in Yoshiyahu's times, 30 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. We learned in Gittin, Tosfos had mentioned the possibility that maybe the Yovel was Noyeg by Sheni, whatever, Reb Simloy long after that. So it can't... Reb Simloy was one of the first generation of Amoraim. So we're talking like 170 or so years after Churban, give or take. Of Churban by Sheni. So therefore, so we can't think that that's the advice that Reb Simloy would have told him. So therefore, back to if he's saying, I would have given you advice how to go about it, necessarily, then we must say that what Tyson is saying is not just something to be edited, but something hachila. Go ahead and marry a shifcha, etc. Shmamina, that proves it. Omer of Yehudah. Well, halacha could have Tyson. The halacha is, in fact, like what Tyson would suggest that such a thing would work. I saw a very interesting thing in Shiloh's Trovus called Chelkas Yaakov, from one of the great rabbanim of about two generations ago. He's writing in the years after the Holocaust. There were, unfortunately, cases of mamzerim then, because you had women who thought their husbands were dead, killed, and they got remarried, and later on it turns out their husbands are alive, and the children are mamzerim. He discusses the interesting question, what about using Reb Tirfin's method over here? The problem with that is that in most countries in the world nowadays, slavery is illegal. So how can you have a shifcha?
But we said even after the Churban.
No, we're talking about an Eved Ivri doesn't exist after the Churban. Therefore, a person can't become an Eved Ivri and have that way of marrying a Shifcha. But that's reestablished. Reb Tirfin is saying, Hatzila, you can go find a Shifcha Knanis, Mamzo can go find a Shifcha Knanis, marry her, without being an Eved Ivri. have children with her, and then free them.
No, she puts
that's the problem. That's the Chalukas Yaakov discusses. There's no such thing as a shifas nanis nowadays, because the laws of the countries, the laws of most countries, don't allow such a thing.
Why not?
But there's no such thing. Even in most countries, they don't allow a person to sell themselves voluntarily. It's again, right. So he has a long he gets into a long discussion about the parameters of dinah, the machotah dinah, where we say that when do and don't we say that the laws of the country have validity in halacha. He ends up saying that basically a case like this, where you're doing it only for the purpose of being a tahor your children, yeah, doesn't matter what the law of the land says. You find a goita who's willing to be considered temporarily a shifa tnanis. No, that's the thing. You have a goita who's voluntarily, like you're saying, Yaakov, who's voluntarily willing to go along with such a scheme to make herself be sold as a shifa tnanis for this purpose, in order that a mamzer can marry her, etc., etc.
She doesn't have to be a real tnanis.
Apparently, no. It doesn't have to be tnanis from the nation of Canaan. No, shifa tnanis means from any goita nation. And therefore, he says it could be made to work. Yeah. Whether other poskim agreed with it, I have no idea. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's continue. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm Harezer Eben Mamzer. We said Rabbi Eliezer said this whole scheme wouldn't work because all you're going to have is the child's going to be an Eved and a Mamzer, and when you free him, he'll be back to being a Mamzer. I'm Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, the Amorita, says, my time is Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's reason? How they can be such a thing as an Eved or a Mamzer? So I'm a Kroloi. Because the pasuk says, the pasuk says by mamzer gamder asidu lo yave loy b'kal Hashem should not come for him into the congregation of Hashem. So the word loy is extra. It means holokach apsuloy. It means you follow the pasul one. So therefore, he being pasul, he being an eved, then the child, he being a mamzer rather, then the child still follows him, regardless who the mother was.
And he's there now.
Yeah. V'rabbanan, what would the rabbanan, meaning your tarfin, what would he answer to that? He says, I hope Yisrael should not be mamzeret. That's talking about the case of Yisrael who marries a mamzeret. We're not talking about a mamzer who marries a shifka. We're talking about Yisrael who marries a mamzeret. You should know that the child is considered a mamzer. Because otherwise you would have thought, Doch, the pasuk says that among Jews, that you go according to the father, as we learned in the previous Mishnah. Also, loy, afke, no, therefore the word loy comes to tell us that this is an exception. Well, not really an exception, it's really category 2 of the previous Mishnah, because it's yesh kiddushin v'yesh avera, kiddushin artefis, but there is an avera, and we said you go according to the pogul. But if it weren't for the word loy, we wouldn't have known that. Rabbi Eliezer, what would Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He says, look, I forgot because of the choice of loy, savoysim, also loy, afke. Look, fine, you're arguing that it says the mishpachosim leves avoytam, that normally the status of a child of two Jewish parents follows the father, but here you're saying you have the word loy telling us that there's an exception, that the child of a mamzeret is still a mamzer. Hachanami, so the same logic over here. I forgot the siva, you should be a theologian now. Fine, the same thing over here. Yes, you have a pasuk that says the child of a shifcha is considered like her, the pasuk that we said, that the children of a shifcha go to the master. Fine, also loy, okay, by the same logic, you can argue that the word of loy by the mamzer, again, is coming to exclude that. But nevertheless, in that this is an exception. A regular Yisrael marries a shifcha, or an eved, every marries a shifcha, whatever, the child is considered an eved, and not a mamzer. But a mamzer marries a shifcha, then he'll be a mamzer, because loy. V'rabbanan, where's the rabbanan? Your tarfin would answer to that. That's different. Kol v'lad b'mei shifcha k'nanis, ki v'lad b'mei behemidam. Again, we're using the limud of Am HaDom HaChamor, that Avodim and Shpachas are considered like Chamorim. The child has no relationship in Halacha to the father at all. It's as if the child was in the womb of Behema, meaning that in the sense that it has no relationship to the father. So therefore, you can't say that the loy of Mamzer should come and tell us that, in this case, it does have a relationship to the father. The child of a Shifcha never has a relationship to the father. Therefore, there's no way that the status of Mamzerus can pass through that. Therefore, it doesn't. And therefore, that's what Reb Tarfon is saying in the Mishnah, that the child ends up being just a regular Eved Meshukra, meaning a full-fledged Yid, but not a Mamzer. Which, again, we said is a halakha.
Because he's a Chacham.
Yes. Hadron Allah Chalayim.
What's the practice
of how much Yom Kippur they've
made before
Matan Torah?
It's a good point. I mean, usually we say we don't learn from before Matan Torah, but I mean, we do. I mean, sometimes we say that we do, sometimes we say... No, but we still usually say that we don't learn dinim from things before Matan Torah unless otherwise specified. But okay, it's true. I did see something about that question. I don't remember what the answer was. But somehow we're saying that it does. Yeah, that does apply. Maybe because it's one of those things that's a gula milta ba'alma. It's not really teaching us a din so much as stating a fact, kind of, and therefore the facts are the same before and after Matan Torah. But I mean, the concept of an eved existed before Matan Torah as well. Maybe that's the Matan Torah, the status of the Jewish people changed. The status of avodim still remained the same. So therefore, if they were amadim l'chamer before Matan Torah, they're still amadim l'chamer afterwards. There wouldn't be a difference.
When you say there's no avodim now,
That's Eved Ivri. Eved Knani and Shifra Knani in Halacha still exists. This is in the laws of most countries, such a thing doesn't exist. Again, that's what the Chalkas Yaakov is arguing, that where you need it for this purpose, you can override the laws of the country for that purpose. But yeah, because it's for the purpose of being Matar as children, and therefore it doesn't really matter whether Dinah de Machosa wouldn't be Dinah in that case. He says, yeah.